obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Good evening. Ako si Alejandro. My name is Alejandro, and I'm an alcoholic and an addict. And a grateful member of Al-Anon. Isn't it lovely? I love living sober. Thank you, Faye. Thank you for asking me, and thank you for all the steering and general planning advisory board. I mean, this is really like an amazing thing. I love living sober. I just really do. Welcome to the newcomers. If you're here, welcome. I mean, you're in for a really good treat for the weekend. For the out-of-towners, there you go, locals. If you didn't get something done last weekend during Pride weekend, this is the time to be of service. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, to the old timers, welcome. Welcome home. This has been my home for the past 8 years. My sobriety date is March 28, 2003. I have 3,017 days of continued sobriety. Thank you. You know, before the meeting, I was in the elevator with Don. And from Los Angeles, I've known him since LA days and stuff, and he said, "Girl, don't fuck it up." I said, "Okay." And my sponsor, Lyndall, he said, "Well, you know, if you just tell your own story, it's not gonna be wrong." So here it is. I was born and raised in the Philippines. You can already tell. I'm wearing our traditional dress, and it's actually a traditional Filipino formal thing for men, believe it or not. The stilettos is just my signature, so to make it more fun, you know. But I was born and raised in the Philippines with a family of seven kids. My family is actually, my parents are here. And my younger sister is here also. So imagine seven kids. I'm the sixth. So I have to vie for attention, like really crave for attention. Really. You know, and you know, I was supposed to be the youngest, and somehow 10 years later, my younger sister showed up. So I'm no longer the youngest. So, and I think, you know, growing up, I've already known I was gay. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you all know me as Alejandro. That is really my name, legally. And by birthright, apparently. But my family, growing up, you know, they chose to nickname me differently. They chose to nickname me Darling. So, if that doesn't tell you anything about me growing up, I don't know what is. So I loved him to death. You know, it's just one of those things that, you know, my mom, actually my parents just celebrated the 50th anniversary. And, you know, and she just reminded me recently that, when I was a little kid, he used to dress me up in my older sister's dresses. Look, she's laughing, because it's true. You know, because in the Philippines, it's so hot. And I have four older sisters, so the hand-me-downs are from my sisters. So what I do is I twirl around those little dresses and wear my mom's stiletto similar to this, you know, in front of the mirror all the time. So that's my upbringing, you know. They always have been very, very supportive. You know, I am so grateful for that, you know. They've sent us all kids to the best schools in the Philippines. I went to an all-school Catholic for boys. It's an amazing school. If you think about it, boys' school. Mm-hmm. And as flamboyant as I am, you know, I actually happen to be one of the bullies, believe it or not. Yeah. I remember when I was in first grade, you know, this is the first time I've actually heard the being referred to as queer. I didn't know what that was. It's queer, queer. I was like, what the hell is that? And that's bakla, bakla. But it's queer, 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 queer. And it was actually my Miss Roger Quinto Brigado. Remember him? Roger Quinto Brigado. So he was the one who was telling me these things. And I'm like, what the hell was that? So I chased after him, you know. And this was during lunchtime, just to beat him up. You know, regardless what it is, I was going to go after him. I'm going to beat him up. And I had an accident for that because I slipped and I broke my, I had a little scar on my forehead. I came home, and, you know, my mom says, what the hell's going on with you? And I had a thing on my forehead, you know, from the nurse's thing. So, I mean, growing up, I was already like that. You know, I was very, I exude this super fearful insecurity, inferiority complex. You know, I suffered from the disease of if only. You know, if only my name is not Alejandro. If only I have different parents. If only, you know, whatever, you know. If only I'm lighter, you know, because in the Philippines, if you're darker, you're kind of like look upon, you know, like look down upon. So, you know, a lot of those things growing up, you know, I have all this inferiority complex. So fast forward, you know, we moved here to the United States back in 1990, and that's one of the greatest things that we've ever done, I think. You know, I'm here. You know, the opportunities came in, and shortly after that, I joined the military, believe it or not. Military. I love the boys. So, yes, I joined the military, and that's actually where my alcoholism started. So, you know, I've known early on that I was gay. You know, I'm not a late bloomer on being gay and everything. Not at all. Not at all. But my alcoholism was a late bloomer. So, because it was in the military when, you know, when I was only about 18 or 19. I was 19, I think. You know, because in the military, they just give you beer and all those things and whatever. And that's when I really realized that, you know, that I could drink, you know. And I sometimes wonder, because my parents don't drink. And my immediate... All I know is, like, you know, there's really not a lot of alcohol or drugs in my my family, you know, but somehow the siblings, me, my older sisters, and, you know, also my younger sister suffered from this disease of alcoholism and addiction. And I stopped asking that question because of you guys. You know, all I said was, like, forget asking. Why is not a spiritual question? You know, just accept that you're an alcoholic and an addict. That's about it. So, anyhow, fast forward, you know, military, you know, there are days that I black out in Tijuana. You know, in the military, it's like you have to be back in the border American side by midnight. There were, like, lots of weekends. I don't know how I got back to the border. You know, I probably was dragged by my peers or whatever. But, you know, that's just started that, you know, my blackout drinking and all those things. So, and then fast forward, you know, that, I got out of the military, you know, luckily, you know, when I was in the military, I was protected by Bill Clinton. You know, it was the don't ask, don't tell. They just didn't ask. They'd rather not ask. But I did show. So, fast forward later, I moved to Los Angeles, and that's when I hit my bottom. That's when I actually got introduced to a lot of other things. That's when I got introduced to crystal meth. That's where I got introduced to G. That's where I got introduced to name the alphabet. I did it, you know. And I had couple of accidents in Los Angeles, you think, you know, that would stop me, but that didn't. And it's sad because, you know, there was one time I remember, that's my time, I'd say, stay get sober, girl. So I'm going to try to get sober. So, anyhow, where was I? Oh, LA, I'm sorry. So there was this one time when I was driving on Wilshire in Vermont, you know, using my ex-boyfriend's car then, a brand new Miata, and had an accident. You know, it wasn't my fault, but of course. And you would think after that accident I would go home and just, you know, and apologize for my partner. The sad thing is, to make it worse, he didn't know that I took the car because it was 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was a total, complete wreck. And the tow truck actually got the car. And I told the tow truck, can you take me to my trick's house? Because, you know, I'm in business. So that's how sad it was. You know, when we talk in Alcoholics Anonymous, the incomprehensible demoralization, the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, that's what it means to me. So, you know, fast forward, you know, I moved here to San Francisco, and, you know, my story at that time was to be with my family, but the truth of the matter is, you know, my family is the only one that would accept me. I mean, I pretty much burned all the bridges. My friends don't want to deal with me anymore. I'm just such a mess. So I came home to San Francisco and be with my family. And so that kind of started my journey here in San Francisco. So I thought to kind of spice it up a little bit, what I did was I contacted
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Whatchamacallit, my counselor back at the VA when I checked myself in back in 2000. And I would just want to share with you a couple of notes, kind of interesting things. And this is what happened. The date on this one was December 19, 2000. And it says, identifying information, 29-year-old gay single Filipino male vet seeking first treatment for crystal methamphetamine dependence, initially referred to psychiatric, but patient felt he needed to begin with substance abuse education. Lives with parents, unemployed for 1 year, no current income, has some savings, blah, 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 blah. Anyhow, history of present illness. Began speed in 1999, which is really a lie. We got a long time ago. As an attempt to be more productive at work and in school, now experiencing paranoia with use and relationship problems, believe it or not. And then says over here, reports being clean 2 months prior to that, lie. Motivation for treatment is to preserve his relationship with partner, you know, a really wrong motivation. But hey, the best is the only thing I know. And then it says, rare drinking reported, and quote, unquote, I don't care for it. So that was December 19, 2000, so apparently I didn't stay sober then. So anyhow, I thought that was just kind of fun. And after that, you know, I tried doing a lot of other things, and then I'm going to try to read to you the second time that I went into the VA, and this is dated April 2nd, 2003, and it says, history of present illness, amphetamines, first used in 1999, again, a lie, of course, and it became a problem in 2000. He was abstinent after treatment in 2001, abstinent, lie. until relapse about approximately 3 weeks ago, reports using about $100 to $150 a week, a few hundred dollars more. Last use yesterday, AM, March 2703. So that's actually the truth. He has tried X, last used in January 2003, lie. And has tried G, last used in 1999, lie. First drank in the military, but not much, lie. Denies use of heroin, which is true, or narcotics or cocaine, lie. Attended substance abuse day health in 2001 and followed up with New Leaf program, which is actually true, and reports stayed clean until relapse 3 weeks ago, lie. So that was April 2nd of 2003. And then shortly after that, you know, was my discharge thing, which says what's the date on this one? April 10th, 2003. It says, Mr. Diesta has been enrolled in the Substance Abuse Day Health Program since March 26, 03, and will successfully complete the program today. He was able to remain abstinent and actively participate. He was started a nicotine patch to help him smoking. And by the way, I would just like to interject that. You know, that was when I really was in the, I guess, the state of desperation, you know. I know we talk here in the Alcoholics Anonymous, and one of the slogans is easy does it. But to the newcomers, if you are thinking of quitting smoking, this is really a good time. I mean, because if you're really serious and willing to change your life, I mean, if this queen done it, you can do it, trust me. So I've been free from cigarettes since then too. Anyhow, so I thought that was just kind of interesting. And then, you know, and recently also, you know, every year you get all those social security things, like when you retire now, you'll get this much. If you retire 67, you retire this much. You know, you got this thing for social security. Well, I saw 1999, 2000, and 2001 as zero income. So I'm like, oh my God, those were my dark years, you know? And that's really what led me to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, at first I really didn't want to get sober. I just came here just to be pretty again because I thought I needed to be pretty so I can do whatever I wanted to do. But, you know, thankfully, you know, I got hooked up with friends like my best sister, Greg G, where she, there she's right there. And, you know, it's one of those things that we do here, you know, like we get a sponsor. Unfortunately, or should maybe fortunately, I don't know. But, you know, my first two sponsors have to leave the state. I don't think because I'm high maintenance, but they have to leave the state because they have to be with their family and do other things. But anyhow, so when I asked my third sponsor maybe 3 years ago, my question to him was, well, are you leaving anytime soon to move somewhere? So I thought that was just like kind of interesting. And you know, and I've with my sponsors, I've worked the steps. I actually have two, and I have a sponsee, or actually maybe I have two sponsees. I don't know, really. I know of one for sure, I have one sponsee. But, you know, I have two sponsors, one in Al-Anon and one in AA. I'm actually currently working the fourth step in Al-Anon. If you haven't done fourth step in Al-Anon, it's crazy. There's so many questions over there. I needed it. I needed it because, you know, in the last few months, I moved. I actually committed and bought a house with my partner in San Leandro. And a lot of my issues, you know, being an alcoholic and control freak, you know, comes out a lot. Just a little bit, you know. Like doing laundry, you don't fold my clothes like that. This is how you do dishes. Why are you driving that way? So trust me, I needed Al-Anon. You know, the beauty about working the steps is, you know, you don't have to do it perfectly. And every time you do the work, the step, you know, I learn something from it. I grew up Catholic, very, very Catholic. I mean, you show me a picture of a saint and I would know who that is. That's how sad it is. you know, and, you know, working the third step for me is a main thing. This actually, the third and the 11th step are my favorite steps. I mean, working the third step the third time helped me realize that I didn't have to be identified as a Christian. I didn't have to be identified as a Catholic. You know, that my higher power, that I still want to call God, is really something from inside me instead of something from external. You know, I want to call that my heart, the awareness, you know, the thing that makes me say, oh my God, what did I do? Or, you know, should I do that or should I not do that? And, you know, and in Al-Anon, there's also this thing that how do you know what's God's will? You know, well, it's easy. Just get up, keep moving. If you hit the wall, turn left. Hey, you know, that's the thing. So, and then the fourth step also made me realize, you know, my responsibility and my accountability in all the things that I do. Like in everything that I do, you know, like there's a reaction to it, you know, that I continue to work on. And in working the fourth step, you know, it reminds me of what Maya Angelou always says, you know, if you know more, you do better. You know, and then we added on in Alcoholics Anonymous, this is a program of action, so get up and do your shit. So, but that's the basic of it, you know, it's the awareness of it. I think it's the most important thing that I have gotten, the gift in being sober is the gift of awareness. I try to be present in everything that I do. You know, thank God I don't have to be I don't have to be toxic at times. And, and I just have to show up and do my thing. I also want to talk about living sober. You know, living sober has been my family. This is where I actually got introduced to what really 12-step is all about. You know, we worked countless hours doing meetings and planning these events for you guys. This is where I met all my closest friends. You know, this is where I met my partner. You know, I met Brad. Was actually a treasurer of the Sacramento Roundup when I met him, when I was treasurer for Living Sober 3 or 4 years ago. So we were exchanging accounting notes. That's my story, I'm sticking to that one. So now you know he moved here for me. Powerful, ain't it? But, you know, it's an amazing gift, you know, that Living Sober has done to me. I mean, it taught me a lot of things. It taught me how to be humble, really. I remember in 2007, when we were doing elections for 2008 steering, I was set. You know, I've always been goal-oriented that I wanted to be the chair for 2008. I just know it. And God has other plans for me. He did not just give me a slice of humble pie. He gave me the entire freaking humble pie and threw it in my face. Girl, you ain't gonna be chair this year. You know, and the funny thing about that one was Florante, you know, my one of my dearest sisters who introduced me, you know, I have to learn to be humble and to be of service with him, you know, and I have to call him and tell him, you know, congratulations, you deserve it. What do you need me to do as your secretary? You know, that was really, really hard for me. But I have to learn that the hard way. And also at Living Sober, that I learned, you know, what Tradition 1 and Tradition 2 really means. You know, that our common welfare should come first. You know, and that I'm only a trusted servant, regardless I'm chair, I'm treasurer, I'm secretary, operations coach, whatever it is. You know, I'm just a trusted servant. I'm just here to show up and do my thing, you know, and to be present. You know, in doing Living Sober, I learned how to plan things, how to be an event planner almost. You know, I wouldn't have gotten that experience and that opportunity without this conference. You know, I planned my parents' 50th anniversary. You know, at first I was resistant about it. I'm like, I don't want to be in charge of that thing. You know, but then I realized, girl, you've been planning conference all these years. Planning your parents' 50th anniversary would be a piece of cake for you. So, you know, so I did, you know, and it was a fabulous, fabulous event, you know, and I admire my parents being 50 years, and it's just one of those things that they, you know, that we do. During that 50th anniversary, my mom came out with her tiara. I'm like, why are you wearing a tiara? And then I realized, oh, that's where I got my wanting to be a royalty from. She's laughing because it's true. You know, but this past year has been a great experience for me. it's a year of first of a lot of things, both good and bad. It was this year when I experienced, you know, taking my parents to emergency room for the first time. You know, my dad had his first heart attack, and then weeks after that, they love each other too much that my mom has to outdo him. Weeks after that, my mom had his seizure, which is a related event because of her brain surgery back in 2004, I think. You know, so those were the scary things that has happened this year. But I had this program to hold on to, and I went to more meetings, and you guys just told me just show up and just put it out there. I also, this year, decided to be a vegetarian as part of my spirituality. And I just did it because I just feel like it's time, you know. And my partner always blames Oprah for that. And I think it's kind of true. And also this year, you know, for the first time ever, I've experienced the joy and the responsibility of being a homeowner. You know, I never realized that I'm going to be a homeowner. You know, I was just content to be a renter. My partner, Brad, who works for Bank of America, really walked my hand and say, you know, we can do this together. You know, I was so scared, but I didn't show it. I was just like, oh, no, my God, am I really better for this? You know, coming from the Philippines, being homeless, you know, living at my parents' couch and being a homeowner, you know, that's a lot, you know. And sometimes I just have to step back and say, is this really real, you know? I must say, the promises, all of it, you know, may have happened already, you know, but sometimes because I don't feel like it has, you know. Every time I wake up, I just am always grateful. I'm always trying to be present, and I just try to be aware of everything that's happening around me and in front of me. You know, I'm very, very grateful for my partner, for his support, for his love. I mean, I would have done chair last year without him being beside me. He's always been such a loving partner. I mean, very understanding. You know, he reminds me of my dad a lot. Because he's very patient, and he's very, very, very loving. I want to thank my parents and my family, of course. The program continues to teach me how to be a better son, a better brother, a better cousin. You know, it teaches me how to show up to all of them. I want to thank all my friends, Greg, Florante, Charles, Brian, Brad, Bobby, Eric, and Dave. You know, every Friday night we go to a meeting and at 6 o'clock, which we call Girls Night Out. And and we would call each other if you're not there. So, girl, where are you? You know, and shortly after that, we do. It's just it's like a thing, a tradition for us. You know, we check in every Friday night, and we go out to dinner shortly after that. We always go to Thai. You know, and part of my story, you know, that I didn't really spend over here is my home group is Living Sober with HIV, which meets every Wednesday night at 6. And this year has actually been 20 years for me of being positive. And I'm turning 40 also this year. So it's a 20-40 year for me. You know, I don't allow that to identify me anymore. You know I'm HIV positive. I know I'm an alcoholic. I know I'm Filipino and gay. You know, but all I do is I just, you know, if I have questions, if I'm feeling something that I don't think it's right because I'm either resentful, irritable, or just completely angry, you know, I have the tools. You know, the Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon gave us a design for living. And it gave me my life. You know, it gave my family back to me. You know, it showed me everything. I mean, it pretty much introduced me to all of you. I love this program. And I want to close on this, which is the 11th step in Al-Anon. And it says, I broke step 11 into four parts. Prayer is talking with God about what His will is for me. Meditation is quietly listening and focusing on the power of God that is inside of me. Conscious contact is making myself deeply aware of God's presence. Knowledge and power is when I stop giving directions and start listening for God's will. In this way, I develop a deeper relationship with God. I can feel His strength, wisdom, peace, and love. I receive the courage to carry out His will with love, humility, dignity, kindness, sometimes even humor. My prayer is that everyone will find a higher power's love, strength, wisdom, and understanding. I pray that everyone finds unconditional love on the way to loving themselves. May all know that we are special and that we are children of God. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service to you.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.